Said he was too weak to preach. What happened there? I'd have been content just to sit there and listen. I don't know about you. It makes a difference when he's here, doesn't it? Praise the Lord. He'll be back completely, I guarantee you. The Lord doesn't do half miracles. He doesn't do half miracles. Take your Bibles and turn to Psalms chapter 46, please. I was given this. I've heard this before. This is a hilarious joke. I love this. After all that stuff, you'd think I wouldn't read a joke, but I got to lower down so you get to my message because his message was better. David's song was better. Praise the Lord. So the importance of using the correct email address. The importance, by the way, my email was hacked just last week. So if you get something from me, I didn't mean it. I've just cleared all my contacts. I don't email that much anyway, so I just cleared it out so it'll never happen again. But I also changed my password, but my email got hacked again. But anyways, the importance of using the correct email address. A couple from Minneapolis decided to go to Florida for a long weekend, smart people, to thaw out during a particularly icy winter. Because both had jobs, they had difficulty coordinating their travel schedules. It was decided that the husband would fly to Florida on a Thursday and his wife would follow him the next day. Upon arriving as planned, the husband checked into the hotel. There, he decided to open up his laptop and send an email to his wife back in Minneapolis. However, he accidentally left off one letter in her address and sent the email without realizing his error. In Houston, a widow had just returned from her husband's funeral. He was a minister of many years who had been called home to glory following his heart attack. The widow checked her email, expecting messages from relatives and friends. Upon reading the first message, she fainted and fell to the floor. The widow's son rushed into the room, found his mother on the floor, and saw the computer screen, which read, "To my loving wife, from your departed husband. Subject, I've arrived." "I've just arrived and have been checked in. I see that everything has been prepared for your arrival tomorrow." "Looking forward to seeing you then. Hope your journey is as uneventful as mine. P.S. Sure is hot down here." Oh, praise the Lord. It's good to laugh. Psalm 46, let's all stand together. We're going to read verse 10 only. Verse 10 only. The title of the message this morning, Austin, is "Are You Still Still?" Are you still still? Verse 10, the Bible says, "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge." Let's go ahead and have a word of prayer this morning. Brother Eddie, could you lead us in prayer, please? Yes. Amen. You may be seated. I don't believe that anybody would disagree with me when I would tell you or submit to you that the world has become a very fast-moving and busy place. The days of sitting on the porch swing are long gone, it seems like. The woman and the man both have to work. They work many hours. They have to do that just to pay Obama's taxes. Now, you can get mad at me, but that's the way it's headed. I meant that to be a joke, but it's not funny. It's headed that way. And in times, you can put out a one call, and it gets to everybody in 10 minutes. You can shoot an email to somebody that will be there in seconds. you can do a text that will be there in literally almost simultaneously when you hit the send button. It comes to a point where our lives are getting so integrated with speed that anymore we forget about slowing down. Anymore in this world, we're so crazy about getting to the next place. You ever felt like that? Where you just have a schedule that's so crazy that you've just got to get to the next place. And that next place has to be very now. And you can't be late. And a moment late is bad. And I don't want you to be late to going to work. And I don't want you to be late for all these things. But you know what's amazing about our lives? We've found a way to get so efficient with our time that we literally have put things minute after minute after minute after minute. And the world goes so fast that we get so overwhelmed with what's going on that we find ourselves just trying to get a moment to gasp. Just trying to get a moment that where we can sit and think. Just trying to get a moment where, and what's sad is the moments that we have left over are usually spent encompassed with figuring out how we can fit one more thing into our next day. The day of a preacher starts out in the morning, and I know that you see a preacher preach on Sunday and you think, wow, what a great life. I sure would love to have that. A preacher never stops. I'm not trying to get sympathy. I'm just telling you how the day goes. And the thing about a preacher is you could have your day stacked with stuff, and in the middle of your day, something else comes in. Just like your lives. Just like our lives of having to work 95 hours a week. Just like our lives of having to do something every minute just to keep up with everything that's going on. And the Bible says in Psalm 46:10, be still. And know that I am God. I want to submit to you something today. I would to God that we could just take a moment. And just think with me for a second here. It's Sunday morning. You're taking a break out of your life. I want you to think about this. Don't treat church as another appointment you've got to make. Let me say that again. Don't treat church as another appointment that you've got to make. You talk about duty to come to church. You talk about it's my job to come to church. You talk about it's where I ought to be. That's the wrong attitude about coming to church. Your church attitude ought to be, man, I want to be here. This is coming to a place where I get to sit and think for a minute. You know, nothing bothers me more than when you bring your cell phone into church. And it's a pet peeve of mine only because why can't you leave the other part of your life outside for a minute and just take a moment to come in here? Come on, think with me. And I don't want you to walk out because you've got your cell phone with you. But it's amazing to me. I won't bring my cell phone. If I do a funeral, if I go somewhere where I can't have my cell phone ring, then the calls that are coming in aren't that important, are they? So I leave it outside. I don't want to be disrupted. I don't want to be disturbed. In our lives, we are so regimented and so full with our schedule, we can't take a moment to come in here and take a breath. And just let God meet with you for a moment. Just let God think with you for a moment. Just let God teach you for a moment. Let me tell you something. Church is a place where you need to realize that this is a break from life. This is a break from life. You get to come in and enjoy a song like my brother-in-law sang this morning. You're not going to hear that out there. Oh, somebody help me this morning. Why don't you get happy about Jesus Christ? It's amazing to me. We walk all week long like this because we know that the money that we're going to make is already spent last month. Come on now, your paychecks aren't that big. I know most of you. You walk around like this because you know that the bills that you made last month are going to be paid with this check. And it's already spent. How many feel like that? You would to God you had another $1,000 a week just to keep up. And we have to work now because that's the way it is. We're making $10 an hour and paying for gas that will cost you half of your time. We wait till it gets to $5 a gallon. Well, it's that way in Europe. I'm not in Europe. I don't live in Europe. I don't want to live in Europe. I live in America. I should have gas that's a dollar. I don't care what the Europeans pay. They want put that on me as sympathy, Brother Bobby. I don't care about them over there. I'll lead them to Christ. Come to America. I don't want to be European. I'm American. I don't understand the attitude. We need to restructure our life over here so that we can be more like Europeans. Are you crazy? I don't want to be European. I want to be American. So don't try to get my gas up to $7 a liter. I'm not on the liters. I'm gallons. Don't try to make me metric, except for my motorcycle. Shut up, Sean. See, I know that's what he was thinking. I want you to turn in your Bibles. I want to give you three examples of when you better take a moment to think about what God wants. And I'll tell you why. Not to discourage you, not to make you. I want you to take a moment to think what God wants, because God will help you. God will help you. If you look at these, I want you to turn to Exodus chapter 14. I'm going to take you to three times where the Lord says, be still. Three times that the Lord says, be still. If you look at Exodus chapter 14, starting in verse 10, you've all heard this. This is nothing new. But I want to challenge you at the end. In verse 10, and when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them, and they were sore afraid. And the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord, and they said unto Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt thus with us to carry us forth out of Egypt? Is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians? Is that the craziest thing you've ever heard? Leave us alone. We want to keep making bricks with no material. Let us alone that we may keep eating fish heads and plants. I mean, plants are all right if you've got broccoli cooked in butter and cheese. I feel bad for vegetarians, unless they put peanut butter in their celery. That's pretty good. For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we would die in the wilderness. And Moses said unto the people, fear ye not. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. For the Egyptians who ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. You know when you need to stand still? When you see the enemy coming. When you see the enemy coming, can I help you a little bit? Why do we worry so much about taking the battle onto ourselves? What can we do? If the Israelites would have turned around to fight, they would have lost. If the Israelites would have put the Red Sea to their back and said, we're going to charge them, they would have lost. They would have lost because they didn't have the Lord with them. And it's amazing how many battles we face that we know they're coming. We can see the enemy. There's the battle. But it's amazing how many battles we face without taking a moment to say, God, would you help me? It's amazing how many battles we face. And I'm going to tell you, I know I keep using our preacher, but this enemy that hit preacher was on the horizon. Here it comes, and here's the enemy. You know what? God made him still. And you knew that we couldn't fight the battle in the world. We knew. This was a battle we fought together with our pastor, and we knew it. So what did we do? We got still and decided, God, would you help us? And what happened? He fought the battle for us. You say, well, he's not preaching today. Well, he preached a message already. This is message number two. And let me explain something to you. When God takes on the battle, I don't see anywhere in the Bible that God loses. Do you want to win your battles? The world's difficult now. Don't think you're going to go out in the world and win. You're going to go out in the world and get frustrated, discouraged, depressed, despondent. You're going to want to quit. You're going to throw in the towel. But if you take the Lord with you, take a moment, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord. Can God pay your bill? I believe he can. I will say this. A lot of the bills that I've had to pay over the years were not God's fault. The Lord didn't give me credit cards. The Lord didn't take my hand and go through the meter. I melted the top of several credit cards. By 19 years old, I was $19,000 in debt on credit cards, working, making about $6 an hour. Yeah, the minimum wage was that low back then. The Lord didn't give me those bills. I gave me those bills. I had to pay those bills. Those bills were my bills, but I got to submit something to you. Even though it was my mistake, the Lord helped me get out. See, I want to tell you need to make sure that you stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. The problem is we work so hard to get out of it ourselves. Even if God would help us, we wouldn't recognize it. God loves you today, and He desperately wants you to stand still and take a moment to let Him come and help. Turn to 2 Chronicles chapter 20. I think I have one in my Bible. There's the first one. There's a second one. Second Chronicles chapter 20. I want to start in verse 14. Then upon Jahaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jeiel, the son of Mattaniah, a Levite of the sons of Asaph, came the Spirit of the Lord in the midst of the congregation. And he said, "Hearken, ye all Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou, King Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid nor dismayed by the reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow go ye down against them. Behold, they come up by the cliff of Ziz, and ye shall find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jeruel." However you say that. "Ye shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves, stand ye still, and see the salvation of the Lord with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will be with you." I think that not only do you need to stand still and see the salvation of the Lord when you see the enemy, I think you ought to stand still and see the salvation of the Lord when you don't see the enemy. When you know they're coming, tomorrow you're going to have a fight. Tomorrow, I was a kid in school. I had this boy in school felt real full of himself. I was never much of a fighter, I really was. I was just big enough to get out of the fights, just to be real honest with you. Just big enough. I wasn't a fighter, but I was just big enough that they said, "Man, you know what, he might hurt me, so I think I'm just going to not be in the fight." Praise the Lord for that, because I don't want to mess up this face. I mean, that would be really bad. But anyways, I had this kid leave a note in my locker. "Meet me in the bathroom at lunchtime, because you're going down, buddy." "I'll fight you, okay?" So I said to myself, you know, you have to ask yourself a question. Do you show up? Because I knew him. He's a little bit bigger than I was. But you know what? It's one of those things. Now you're in school. Now you've been called out, mister. I double dog dare you to come. That's what it felt like. So I show up. And I'm standing. I got to be honest with you. I was nervous. And I stood there and I'm, you know, you're talking yourself up in the mirror. You can do it. You can do it. You've studied Kung Fu for 7 minutes. You can do it. And praise God, he walks in. And I thought, here we go. He walks in. He pushed me once. That's how, you never noticed that in high school. And I know I'm really running a rabbit trail here. But you notice how guys fight in school? It very seldom starts out with this. It usually starts out with, "Come on then. Come on then." Like this. Guys are such sissies. When girls fight, man, they grab and go. I mean, it just, woo! Girls don't waste any time. It's hair, nails, blood. That's what you see. I mean, they just go crazy. But guys just tend to really, you know, they're kind of moving into the fight. They got to be encouraged a little bit. And so we're encouraging each other in the Lord. We're encouraging each other to push in a little bit and seeing how strong our pushes are, for goodness sake. And we're getting crazy, and we're getting ready to go, and I've got my back, I'm turned this way, and we're getting ready to go. I'm left-handed, so I figure I've got the advantage, you know. These things are running in your mind, you're getting ready to duke. And all of a sudden, he puts his dukes down. I said, "Yeah, that's what I thought. You ought not. I'm tough, and you..." Well, behind me walked in the principal of the school. To use the bathroom. And I thank God that minute, because I had my dukes up. He said, "Mr. Ballard, what are you doing?" I said, "What am I going to tell him? My dukes are up." I'm washing my car. So I turn around. I said, well, Randy and I are getting ready to fight. He says, I don't think so. Meet me in my office. I said, you're lucky. I knew the enemy was going to be there. Sometimes you know what's coming. And yet there's times that we fret. Come on now. We fret. We get scared. We get discouraged. We get so worried about what may happen to us. And here's a group of people that are getting ready to fight a battle against multitudes that are much, much bigger than they. And let me tell you something. Your problem is generally bigger than you can solve, or you wouldn't be worried about it. Come on now. Let's just be honest. Let's try to think normal. Now, my problems may not be big to you, but my problems are big to me. Okay? That's why a little kid, their biggest freak out is when their game starts skipping. Their biggest freak out is when their DVD stops working. Their biggest freak out is when they only have one Twinkie instead of seven. I mean, but to them, it's a giant problem. Your problems get big to you, or they wouldn't be your problems. So I have a very hard time discounting somebody else's problems. I have a very difficult time discounting what somebody else is going through. Even though I may see it as foolish, they don't. And this battle that they were meeting in, although they felt that they could not win, here's their problem. And God knew that they were crazy, and God knew that they were afraid, and God knew that in the back of their mind they're thinking there's going to be much bloodshed today, many people are going to die, we don't know how this is going to come out, and God says, be still! I'm going to fight for you. How many times have we used God as the last resort for your problem? How many times have we used God as the last thing that we could possibly ever ask, because we think we're so tough we can face the guy alone? Hey, I go into that bathroom alone, I may lose that fight. But if I took God with me, he wouldn't have me even show up. God would have done the fighting for me. See, the army, I don't believe, even had to necessarily worry about, they could have walked in, no weapons, no nothing. God's fighting for you, what do you even need? But so many times we don't ask the Lord to come with us. God says, stand still. Could you take a moment and just ask me to come along? Can you take a moment and just ask me? I love you. You're my child. I died for you. I came down and lived for you. I'm just desperately desiring fellowship with you. Is there a way that you could literally, and I wonder sometimes if God doesn't make our problems big enough where we know we can't finally win. And then God says, okay, now do I have your attention? Now I've got, listen, with Brother Mike Sells, our preacher, they were in health that no man could fix. And finally, we said, God, we're going to have to give it to you. You know I'm right. You know I'm right because it took us 6-7 days to anoint him with oil. Help me now. Where's our unbelief? And Bill, I'm glad. I'm glad we went there with the oil. I'm glad we went there with the scripture. I'm glad we claimed it from God. But Perry Teets in Toledo, Ohio, I told him the great miracle that happened. He said, hey, why did you wait so long? Did you want to give the doctors a chance? Take God with you first. Stand still. You know you got a problem coming. Stand still. And see the salvation of the Lord. When's the last time you saw God win a battle for you in your life? I've had God pay bills for me. I've had God take care of issues. I've had God take care of disagreements. I've had God take care of things for me, and you would think that I would get into the habit of taking him with me, Brother Marty, every time. You would think that I would get, I've seen the great wondrous works of the Lord. You would think that I would get in the habit of taking him with me, but there's still times, Miss Kelly, where I leave him back there thinking I can do it all on my own. So you can do it on your own. So what? Why not still take God? I want you to turn to the third one. You need to stand still and see the salvation of the Lord when you see the enemy. You need to stand still and see the salvation of the Lord when you know the enemy's coming, but you don't see him. And then I want you to Be still when you lack peace in the midst of the trial. I want you to turn to Mark, please. We're going to be in chapter 4. The first two are being still when the world is coming at you. But how about when you're coming at you? Well, that doesn't sound right, brother. What are you talking about? You know how many times I have to deal with my inner peace of my own? It's not necessarily has anything to do with the world. But am I doing right? Am I doing the right thing? The storm has come, and here I am. Nobody else is in the storm, just me. And I didn't bring an umbrella. Look at this now. If you look at Mark chapter 4, and we're going to look at verse 37. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? Now, he's not talking to them as a group, in my opinion. Because I can't have faith for Josh. Josh can't have faith for me. He's talking to me. You know how crazy it is out there, Brother Dave. You know how crazy it is. Why do you have no faith? Why don't you understand that I'm the one that controls the storm? You say there's storms in my life. The world's overwhelming me. Here comes the storm. Oh, I can't do it. I can't do it. You know why you can't do it? Because the Lord's asleep in the hinder part of your life. The Lord's asleep. The Lord's asleep. It's a good thing they went and woke him up, Lance. Hey, it's storming. He wakes up and says, Oh, don't you realize that I control the storm? The ship was running too smooth. I wanted to be rocked a little bit to sleep. That's all. Jesus walked outside and looked at his people. And I wonder about this sometimes when the Lord looks at me. I wonder if he sees somebody that lacks faith in the time of the storm. He gets so worried and so panicked. And there's God that says, Peace, be still. He says it to the storm. And what happens to the storm? The storm goes away. See, there's times in our life when we literally are in the midst of the storm. I'm submitting to you. I know that there are storms. It wasn't that the storm wasn't real. The storm was real. But the problem was that Jesus was asleep. The problem, and by the way, no problem of Jesus. Jesus needed rest at this time. I'm not trying to say anything there. But the men were not where Jesus was. If you want to know the truth, the men should have grabbed them a pillow, Brother Jordan, and went and had a nap with him. Hey, wherever God's doing must be right. Let's go do that. And there's the storm, and they get worried, and they get crazy. And in your life, you may get worried, and you may get crazy over storms, but understand this. God's in control of the storm. And he will never give you a storm that's so big that you can't get around it. So understand this. I've got you three things. When you see the enemy, when you know the enemy's coming, and inside of you, when you are dealing with you, that storm of life, understand that God controls the storm. And in our lives today, that is so crazy. And so how many of you just work 40 hours and then you're done? Nobody raised their hand, I see. Well, it used to be that you could work 40 hours, then come home and you're home and relaxing. Not anymore. So our lives are crazy. Our lives are hectic. Our lives are full of turmoil. Our lives are full of trial. And the Lord's crying out to you, be still and see the salvation of the Lord. However, nowhere in the scripture will you see it telling you to stay still. I want you to turn with me back to Exodus. There's nothing wrong with getting still, taking a moment, taking a break, unplugging, plugging into what the Lord would have you to do, and realizing that God will fight for you. Nothing wrong with that. But here's what is wrong. I don't find any of the three cases that I just gave you where it says to stay still. I don't see any cases where it says to stay on the beach. Israel, look at this now. I want you to see this. In verse 13, we read this already, but I'm going to keep going. And Moses said to the people, "Fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. For the Egyptians who ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever." And I got to be honest with you, I'm thinking that the people still didn't believe it, because here they come. "And the Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. And the Lord said unto Moses, Wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward. But lift thou up thy rod and stretch out thine hand over the sea and divide it, and the children of Israel shall..." What does it say? It shall what? The children of Israel shall go. Now wait a minute. "Shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea." And you're telling me, "Oh, I know, Brother Dave, but God told them where to go." You're so smart. When the enemy is there, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, but don't be still forever. Stand still. "God, where do you want me to go? What do you want me to do? Let me beat this enemy and I'll show you where to go." God is never going to make you stand still forever. No one time. If God is anything at all, he's going. If God is anything at all, he wants you to be about his business. The problem is we get involved in all this other business, and it surrounds your life, overwhelms you. You get underneath it, buried. Not that it's bad and not that it's wrong. But there's got to be a time when we realize, "Brother Dave, I don't know if I'm going to make it. I don't know if I'm going to get through it." And I've sat with so many people in my office that have told me that very same thing. And I tell them, "Have you asked God what to do? Have you stood still for a minute and realized that you've got a God that loves you? Have you stood still a minute? Have you made your way to the altar?" "You don't understand. I've got no time to go to the altar." Therein lies the issue. Take your moment. Come to church. For as many times as I have heard that they can't get through their battle, the same amount of times, if not more, I've heard the people say, "I came to church today, Brother Bobby, and that's exactly what I needed to hear." You think God doesn't know that, dummy? You think God doesn't know where you are, where you're at right now? You think it's an accident that you came today? You think it's an accident that I'm preaching about what I'm... Not because I'm so smart, because I believe that God works through his preachers. So here you are standing in the midst, and boy, you stand still. Here comes the enemy. I'm standing still. I'm standing still, God. I'm just going to be right here. And I've seen Christians lay down on the job. I've seen Christians decide, "I'm just going to stay still. I'm just going to stay still. I don't care. I'm just going to stay. God told me stay still. You just told me to stay still." Then God opens up the Red Sea. Can I ask you a question? What if Israel stays still? He said, "Be still." But he didn't say, "Stay still." He said, "Be still." I'm asking you, I think you should change your direction. The Lord opened, is there anywhere to go before he opened up the Red Sea? Where's he going to go? The children of Israel can't go anywhere. They saw the battle. Here comes the battle. The enemy's right on top of me. And God says, "I'm going to split the Red Sea wide open." I don't believe that they thought of that. I don't believe that Israel stood there and says, "Boy, I tell you what, guys. Hey, Dave Lance, let me tell you. Come here. Come here. Hey, Lance. Whoosh. Enemy's back there. There's the Red Sea. Wouldn't it be cool?" I don't think that ever came out of one Israelite mouth. "Wouldn't it be cool if the Lord split the Red Sea and we walked across on dry? Wouldn't that be cool?" was, I don't think that that conversation was ever had. And it may not come to your mind the way God is going to get you out of your battle. It may never come to your mind that God is going to split a Red Sea open for you to get you through. And by the way, I've seen my problems get split like the Red Sea before. I've seen it. I got to believe, Brother Mike, your disease was a Red Sea splitting when now you're taking care of the visitation ministry when 8 months ago you didn't even know if he was going to make it. Don't you agree? I never thought of that, Lord, that you'd have me be in charge of visitation ministry. I never thought of that. Never dawned on me. Then he goes, poof. Hey, this is a good way to go. Because God gave them a direction. God, and it was in the direction that the enemy was defeated. Can you help me today? When they're walking through the Red Sea, how did the Lord take out the enemy? The Lord took out the enemy with the direction he asked the children of Israel to go. Go through the Red Sea on dry ground. So they did. And when they did, the Egyptians followed them. And it was because they obeyed God, and because of them obeying God, the Egyptians followed them. Their chariot wheels fell off. I don't know about you, but that'd be awesome to see. Who made this chariot? Mechanic? There they are, in the midst of the direction that God had presented to the Israelites, the enemy was destroyed. Did the Israelites have to fight? Nope. But they did have to go. If they stay on the beach when God says go, if they stand, preacher, did God say go? God said go. God said be still, see my salvation, and go. So now they're going, and if they don't go, they stay on the beach, what happens? They die there. But they don't stay still. I'm all for being still, but I'm not all for staying still. I'm all for seeing the salvation of God, but I'm all for going in the direction he points you once you get there. So you got to understand something. If you don't grow, you die. And if you stay in one spot and oh God, I'm basking in God's wonderful deliverance, but when he gives you a direction to go, you better go. Turn to the second thing. I want you to see this. The enemy was there. He presented the direction. They took it. And they succeeded. Turn back to 2 Chronicles. In verse, we're just going to go right to 17 because I don't want to try to say all those names again. Ye shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves, stand you still, and see the salvation of the Lord with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Fear not, nor be dismayed. Look at what it says. I'm going to read Bible to you. Tomorrow, go. Is that what that says? Tomorrow, go out against them, for the Lord will be with you. And Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground. All Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. And the Levites, the children of Kohathites, and I'm not going to take time to go all this, but you know what happens. The Lord provided the direction. They stopped and got God's information. When is the next time or the last time that you're going to stop and get God's information? God, what do you want me to do? I can't get out. You know I've got this big battle tomorrow. I'll give you a good example. Brother Turner, he went to get that MRI. We had prayer requests the day before the test. He knows what's coming. God says, stand still. Pray to me. Ask me. And I guarantee you, I know him. He asked him. And God sent him to the hospital. Now you say, well, that didn't work for me. I don't know God's will, but I do know this. God will give you a direction. And once he gives you the direction, you need to go. Hey, listen, I guarantee you some of that army said, man, we're going out against insurmountable odds. Are you sure? Come on, Christian, are you sure? Are you sure that we should fight this battle? The Lord said he's going to be with us. We need to go. Because a lot of times the Lord tells you what to do. gives you a direction to go and we don't do it, and then what do? We fail. See, I want you to show you the last one and I'm all done. In your life, you will come against battles. The Lord says you're going to have battles. Turn to Mark chapter 4. You should have just run them backwards, Brother Dave. I was already there. I can't stand turning in my Bible. Why do you make me do this so much? Well, unfortunately, I love the sounds of turning pages of the Word of God. Verse 40 again. We just read this. Peace be still. He didn't still the people, he stilled the storm. I thought that was good. Look at this. He said to them, why are you so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? And they feared exceedingly and said one to another, what manner of man is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? Yet we don't. And verse number one, and they came over unto the other side of the sea. Let me explain something to you. You saw some miracles coming when they get to the other side of the sea. Maniac gets cured. They see great miracles. Can I ask you something? I want us to unplug from the world. I really do. I want us to unplug from the world. I want us to get God's direction. And I really think that sometimes, even in the ministry, you get so crazy wrapped up in the ministries, in what's going on, the work of the ministry, and the jail ministry, and the children's church, and the buses, and we get so wrapped up in what's going on. Sometimes we forget to get God's direction. And I'm telling you, I'm challenging all of you that work in ministries and myself as well. Sometimes, Brother Bill, we've got to stand still. You don't understand. I got to get to the jail. And I want to get to the jail, so I get to the jail on time. And I want you to be on time. But I hope and pray that before you go to the jail, you got a minute to unplug and have God give you a direction on what part you ought to play in the ministry and what you ought to do when you get there. For years, I worry that in our children's church ministry, that it becomes old hat, becomes a drudgery. I have an appointment to do the children's church. I have an appointment to teach in the school. I worry about our teachers that they become so wrapped up in the work that they're doing, they forget why they're there. And I've got good teachers, wonderful people that love the Lord, but they're not above getting wrapped up in the drudgery of every day being with your kids. Mitch, how dare you? Your children are the enemy, I'm going to tell you that. Coming over the hillside, we're trying like crazy to get across the Red Sea. Listen to me. I want to tell you something. I don't want my teachers to show up not having God with them. If you show up, and believe me, if you show up without God with you, the kids will tackle you, run you into the ground. You'll come home like this. You won't be any good the rest of the day. You better take God with you. And I'm talking about serving the Lord. Go into your everyday life, ask yourself the question, did you take God with you? Be still. Be still. Let God give you a direction. Thy word is unto my feet and which gives you the thought. I mean, unless you're not smart, which I don't think any of you are not smart, a path is a place that you go! So the Lord doesn't want you to stay back here. The Lord wants you to get here and say, God, what would you like me to do? And then go. That's why I know that we will not be in this building forever. Because the Lord's given us a path over there. And we need to go. See, what you've got to understand is when you fight the trials of life and fight the things of life, by all means, get God on your side. But God doesn't want you to pull out of the ministry. God doesn't want you to pull out of your walk. God doesn't want you to not walk your path. God doesn't want you to not do the things that He's called you to do. God wants you to do them. The problem is we're walking all over here worrying about everything else instead of taking God with you. God, I'll be with you in a minute. Come on, don't tell me you've never said it. Lord, I'll be with you in a minute. I got something to do. Listen, and I, by the way, I'm preaching to me because my life gets a little busy. I do some things sometimes. Let me tell you, there's been times I've had 3 funerals in 24 hours. 3 funerals in 24 hours. That's not kidding. That's the actual truth. I preached 3 funerals in 24 hours. I was scared to death I was going to mix the names up. Think about that. I'm here to preach Bessie May's funeral, and it's a guy. Nervous and worried. Worrying about all the logistics of what I'm doing instead of the ministry of what I'm doing. See, every day is a battle. Every day the enemy's there. He's either chasing you and you see him, or you know he's coming. And in the last one, they see the problems of life get fixed. It wasn't them that got fixed, Austin. It was the problem that got fixed. Can you help me today? The storm is what got calm, not them. He didn't give them inner peace, Josh. He calmed the storm. Oh, Lord, give me peace. He'll give you peace when you start relying on Him. That's when you're going to get peace. You're not going to get peace running around going, oh my goodness, the world's coming and I don't know what to do. The world's on my back and the world's all over. God's saying, stand still. Get a direction from Him because you're running around like crazy. But then when you get the direction, yeah, I'm winded. When you get the direction, go. Because God's not interested in you sitting here. He's interested in you going with Him with you. So the question I have, are you still? Are you still in the place that you took the advice and stood still, but then you never got a direction from God? He wants to give you a direction. He doesn't want you to sit still. You never got a direction from God. And then when you got a direction from God, you didn't do it. Failure waits on the other side of that. Failure. Why is my Christian life not succeeding? Because you're not going. You're not taking the direction that God's given. You're working for every other direction. Where's the, because God, I love this statement that Brother Arthur made. I'm telling you, I love it. Little is much when God is in it. And He will get in it if you give Him what you have. You say, I don't have much. I don't notice that it takes much. It just takes what you have. Be still. Ask God, God, what do you want to do with me? The world around me is crazy. You're never going to beat the world. Did you know that? The world's always going to overwhelm you. There's never going to be a time that you're above the world. You and yourself, you're above the world. You're not above the world. You're going to get beat down. You're not going to win. So take God with you. Take God with you. But make sure that you do go. Go where He's pointed you to go. Are you still? If you're not still, first of all, get still. Find out what God wants. What does God want with your life, Lance? You ever think about that? Seriously, do you ever think? I'm not asking for an answer because I'm worried. Find out what He wants, though, Lance, because you may feel that you're unworthy. You may feel that you're unworthy to serve God, son. Let me give you a hint. You are. But what you have, He's very interested in. He's interested enough to save you. And if He's interested enough to save you, obviously He's interested enough to what you can do with what He's given you. Give it to Him. Be still. Find out, then go. Are you still? Let's pray. Dear Lord, I thank You so much for this morning. Lord, You are wonderful. There's not enough word. You win so many battles for us that we don't even see. And Lord God, this world is not getting easier. It's getting more difficult, getting busier. And Lord, I think our schedules have been devised and arranged sometimes by the devil himself to get us away from You. Not necessarily bad things, just so many things that we forget all about God. So Lord, let us get still. Let us get still today and find out what you want from us. Let us get still, because the enemy is either here or he's coming, or the enemy is ourselves. Lord God, the enemies are coming, if they're not here already. Lord, let us get still. Let us get still enough that we can hear you. Let us get still enough that we can take a few minutes a day and read your Bible. Let us get still enough that we offer our time, the one thing we can't get back. Lord, let us offer our time, our moments, a quiet time, apart from the world, away from the world, and seek your direction. And then, Lord, once we get our direction, let us be strong enough and willing enough to go. And when we go, Lord, please go with us. Go with us in the direction that we go. Defeat the enemies. Defeat the future enemies. Calm the storms. Lord, help us to do great and mighty things for you. Because we can't do anything apart from you. But we can do everything with you. Lord God, help us today. Help us to get still but not remain still. Lord, please help us. With every head bowed and every eye closed, no one looking around. How many can say, I know that I know that I know, 100% sure that if I was to die today, right now, that I would go to heaven. If I was to die today, I'd go right to heaven. 100% sure that I'm saved. Can you put your hands up real big and tall? Just about everybody had their hands up. Praise the Lord. We're going to have us a time in heaven. But not everybody's hand went up. And I'm not going to come to you. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to call you out. But let me tell you something. If you're lost, the storm that awaits you is something that is literally, you can't even describe it. What awaits a person that hasn't asked the Lord to save them is a hell that burns forever. I can't change it. It's in the Bible. That's what it is. There's no religion that's going to get you around it. There's no thought process that's going to circumvent it. If you're not saved, you go to hell when you die. But you don't have to. The Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And you say to me, well, that's saved. I thought that was a Baptist term. That's not a Baptist term. That's a Bible term. The Lord wants you to be saved. That's why he came. That's why he died. That's why he rose again. That's why he suffered. So we can have wonderful salvation for free. All we have to do is ask him for it. And if you've never asked him for it, if you've never confessed with your mouth the Lord Jesus and never believed in thine heart that God raised him from the dead, then you're not saved. But he wants you to be. If you don't know the Lord as your Savior, but you would like to know, could you put your hand up real big and tall? I promise you, I will not come to you. I will not embarrass you. Could you put your hand up real big and tall? I want to pray for you. But I must be talking to a bunch of Christians. I'm going to tell you right now, Christian, the storms are there. The enemy's there. Be still. Get God's direction. And then follow it. Follow it. Are you still? Are you still waiting? I believe God wants us to go. I believe God wants us to follow his direction and take him with us. So Christian, let's do it. Let's everybody stand. Brother John, what are we singing? Number 401. Please come quickly.